Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as always, I just so look forward to this time each week because it helps me so much with just strengthening these loving ideas, remembering the truth together. So thank you for being here, and let's begin our practice with coming together in a few moments of silence. So if you're doing anything, if you're moving around, I encourage you just to pause if you can. Closing your eyes, of course not if you're driving. And turning attention to the sense of love within. There's a place within each of us that is unchanged, despite anything we think we perceive on the outside. This place is our gateway. It's our touch point of remembering the truth. And for our awareness, for our remembrance of the truth to grow, all we need is a tiny willingness, and we have that. Because we're here. So connecting with your sense of willingness within. In this willingness is a willingness to question everything. It's a willingness to withhold nothing from Holy Spirit. It's a willingness above all else to see and to see differently. And gladly offering this willingness to spirit within, to our inner teacher, trusting that those miracles are instantly given and we'll receive them the moment that we're ready. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives, and we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice, mindful breath in, and out. And coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right. I'll just briefly review the page references for anyone who's just joined us. We are on page 453 in the Sparkle edition. So again, Sparkle, page 453. The subheading is Sin versus Error. This corresponds to the original edition in chapter 19, part 3. And this also corresponds to the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, chapter 19, part 2. It's called Sin versus Error in all three editions. And although we read the first paragraph of this last week, I just want to reread it. So I'll actually read the first two paragraphs of this section, and then I'll pause. I'm really excited to dive into this section tonight because I feel like within the past week, last week I read this, had we gotten to it last week in preparation, and I reread it again today, and I feel like it's coming in at a whole different level for me than before. So I'm excited to go into this. So sin versus error. It is essential that error be not confused with sin. And it is this distinction which makes salvation possible. For error can be corrected and the wrong made right. But sin, were it possible, would be irreversible. The belief in sin is necessarily based on the firm conviction that minds, not bodies, can attack. And thus the mind is guilty and will forever so remain, unless a mind, not part of it, can give it absolution. Sin calls for punishment, as error calls for correction. And the belief that punishment is correction is clearly insane. Sin is not an error, according to the ego. So sin is not an error, for sin entails an arrogance which the idea of error lacks. To sin would be to violate reality and to succeed. Sin is the proclamation that attack is real and guilt is justified. It assumes the Son of God is guilty and has thus succeeded in losing his innocence and making himself what God created not. Thus is creation seen as not eternal and the will of God open to opposition and defeat. Sin is the grand illusion underlying all the ego's grandiosity. For by it, God himself is changed and rendered incomplete. So I'm going to pause there. So this section is really driving home this idea. Sin, were it real, would be something that is fixed. It's permanent. It's not undoable. It's done, and therefore it's done forever, and the one who did it is always guilty. This is saying so clearly that, well, number one, it'll go on to say, sin doesn't exist. It's not real. It's just an idea that the ego keeps in mind to hold the dream together, to hold, as it says, it's the underlying grand illusion of the ego's grandiosity. Let me pause here for a moment. Okay, here's where I want to pick up. In the second paragraph, it says, sin is not an error, for sin entails an arrogance which the idea of error lacks. To sin would be to violate reality and to succeed. So there again is this idea that sin is permanent. Sin means that something has happened that is absolutely irreversible. Now, I actually just want to begin, I think, with a story, this little story of just what came up for me in reading this section. Because this, I've read this section many times, and I've known since I began studying the Course that the Course teaches that there is no sin, that there are only mistakes, and that all mistakes are correctable. That's where the miracle comes in. That's what we have to ask for. That correction is instant, the moment that we want it. So I've always known this intellectually, that, okay, there is no sin, but I never felt like I really believed in sin. I felt like, well, of course everything's just a mistake. I don't believe in sin. It just never felt like I had the idea of sin being real in my mind. But I was wrong. And I was wrong because I touched it today in a big way. I've noticed periodically for myself that I can periodically touch a belief in guilt in myself that I'm, just by being in this world, I must have pulled off a separation. It's super subtle. It breaks to the surface every now and again. And today, it came up, it broke to the surface, and I recognized that the guilt that I feel in my own mind, and this is a belief that as I've said, it's broken to the surface many times before, and I've always looked at it with Holy Spirit, so I feel like I've come very far in undoing this sort of core fear. But it came up again today, and today what I saw is that the guilt that I felt surrounding that I'm actually here, like believing that I'm actually here, that's a reflection of a belief in sin. That's a reflection of a belief that I actually must have pulled this off, and it's not just an error, that this actually is really happening. And in anything lately for me in the news, I can get really hooked. You know, that there's those countless opportunities out there to make it seem like, oh, yes, this is real. You really did this. You really pulled this off. And it was an opportunity for me to look at, again, that reflection of a belief in sin in my own mind and in guilt in my own mind, but also in the fact that I still constantly see guilt outside of myself, these politicians are guilty, you know, those cabinet members, whoever it is, pointing the finger. And there, again, is just another opportunity to look at it, to see it rising, to see that this is a reflection of my actual belief in sin, which I didn't even touch on before, that I was able to own and to look at with Holy Spirit today in a really, really big way. So I hope that made sense. I hope that makes sense in kind of giving an example of just what this is talking about, because this belief in a separate self in a world is just a simple mistake. It's our perception that needs correcting, and that's all. Nobody else has to do anything to make it better out there. Nobody else can. It's all about working at the level of our own minds in allowing our perception to be corrected through experiencing and asking for the miracle. I'm going to pause.
I must have been watching the same thing you were watching today. Because I had exactly the same reaction. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. This sure looks like sin to me.
Yeah.
Sounds like sin.
Yeah.
Looks like sin. It must be
and
sin. And there you go.
And then there's our opportunity to look at it with Holy Spirit. So it's almost like...
It never felt so real.
Right? Right. Yeah.
It never felt so real. This is a grand time, Corinne.
It is. This is
the rubber to the road, you know. This is the trial. You think you're so spiritual? Well, turn that TV on for 2 minutes, and you're going to find out how spiritual you are. Really, it's fabulous.
Yep.
It's a fabulous thing because, and I love what you said, because all we need is a miracle. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's
it's just a mistake. It's a simple
And
mistake.
If you want to be happy, you better believe it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That all you need is a miracle, that God isn't limited by this, not for a second.
Yeah.
And that
not
this is actually
second.
Happening to strengthen your belief.
Either way, right?
Either way.
Depending on which teacher we're looking
One
with.
Way or
we're
the other.
Yep, if we're going to look with ego, we're going to see the witnesses for the ego and strengthen that. If we're going instead to turn to spirit, we're going to start seeing witnesses to
What the hell was that Bob Dylan song? What was that Dylan song? You're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be
mm-hmm.
the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. And this is really, this is a trial. So I'm going with the Holy Spirit. That's all.
I'm with you.
Corinne, I have a question. If it's
sure. Okay. Hi, Homira.
Hi, Corinne. So in paragraph 1, sentence 4 in my edition, it says the belief in sin is necessarily based on the firm conviction that minds, not bodies, can attack. Can you speak a little bit on that? Because I thought that what the ACIM or the course is trying to get us to do is to see that we are not bodies, and yet it's saying that I'm not understanding this sentence, but I'm thinking it's saying that you believe that your mind created this, right? That your mind can attack and attacked God, the original sin, by separating. And then it further goes on and says, and thus the mind is guilty and will forever so remain unless a mind not part of it can give it absolution. Can you speak a little bit on that?
You bet. So a couple things come up for me here, and if anybody has to add to this, I welcome your thoughts. So the belief in sin is necessarily based on the firm conviction that minds, not bodies, can attack. So nobody would argue with the idea that bodies can attack another body on this level of form, right? I want to first make a distinction here with the word mind. So the Course often speaks on two different levels, and that's the level of either the lowercase m mind, which is the mind that we know here, or the capital mm-hmm. M mind, which is you know, the mind that never left God, the mind of God, are part of our mind that is still fully awake. So for this particular sentence, it's talking about the lowercase mind, this belief. Actually, I don't even know that we need to distinguish between one, but just this idea that there's an attack thought in the mind, and therefore, you know, that's sin. It's a little bit of a confusing sentence, but I want to just go on to the next part. And thus, the mind is guilty. So there it is. It's saying, what it's saying here is that sin goes beyond just an idea that your body is guilty. It's like, almost like a belief in, if you think about karma, and that you're living out the sins of generations upon generations because it's this mind that's guilty. It's this, like, thing that just goes far beyond a body, and it's fixed. It's sin. You know, it cannot be changed. So it says, and thus the mind is guilty and forever and will forever so remain unless a mind not part of it can give it absolution. That, to me, what immediately comes up, and again, there might be another way to look at this, is just that, like, oh, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Like, I need a priest, or I need somebody else to be able to forgive me for my sins because I have been wrong. Or even the idea that Jesus died for our sins. That is not a course teaching. The course would say that whole thing, the whole point of the crucifixion is lost if you're not looking at the resurrection. That happened to show that the most outrageous assault on the body doesn't matter. It doesn't change what we are. It doesn't change truth. So, so that, to me, that second sentence is what it's saying, that if the mind is guilty forever and ever, well, there's got to be then, you know, some kind of higher something that is going to forgive me because I am bad. That's in a sense, I have an image coming to my mind and I don't know how to put it in words. I wanted to say, in a sense, that's keeping the separation going because you need something outside of yourself to forgive yourself. Whereas the truth is that we are already whole and complete and perfect and have not harmed or hurt or changed reality in any way. And it's a matter of us fully just remembering that, just stepping into that and recognizing our absolute sinlessness right now. God doesn't need to forgive our sins because we haven't changed truth. And this is all a dream. So does that help a little bit?
A lot. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
So it just keeps, like you said, it's like karma, whereas the body can die, but if my mind is sick, then I'm paying for this for eternity, kind of.
Right.
Thing. Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
Can I interject something real quick?
Please. Yes.
You know, you're talking about the mind. I know there's something about having the mind of Christ, Jesus. And so in his day, look at supposedly all the accusations people were trying to accuse him of, hanging out with this group of people or that group of people or whatever the accusations might have been for the time. But having the mind of Jesus, his mind, he didn't care what their accusations was because he knew he was never doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
So he didn't even know. But I think for this part, it's even more so hard to accept for ourselves. You know, we're not doing anything wrong. We don't need anybody else accusing us. We're good enough at pointing fingers at ourselves anyway, going, I'm doing sin. I have to be. This is bad.
Right. So true. That is so true. Thank you, Greg. That's really important. And then that's where the rubber hits the road, where we have to look at this, like, dirge of, you know, guilt and sorrow that we're singing to ourselves and say, hey, wait a second, like, I'm willing to see this differently, you know. I'm willing to turn to Spirit and ask for the miracle instead.
And Corinne.
That was helpful. Yes.
And Corinne, just as you said, being of the mindset to realize that everything is already perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Which is really kind of, it's kind of mind-bending when you follow the dream and see all the agony and suffering and also the happiness and joy and all the things, the myriad of emotions that the dream applies. But to be able to step back from that and to know that that is illusion and that everything is perfect.
Yes, God is true. God is love. You know, Meg, you just reminded me of the statement in the Course, nothing so blinding as perception of form. Nothing so blinding as perception of form. So as Paula said before, turn on the news for a minute or like seconds and boom, you know, or just the external world. Nothing so blinding as perception of form. We're learning how to use a different vision that is in all of us, and that's the vision of Holy Spirit. Awesome. Anyone else have anything to add? Let's keep reading. The Son of God can be mistaken. He can deceive himself. He can even turn the power of his mind against himself. But he cannot sin. There is nothing he can do that would really change his reality in any way, nor make him really guilty. That is what sin would do, for such is its purpose. Yet for all the wild insanity inherent in the whole idea of sin, it is impossible. For the wages of sin is death, and how can the immortal die? That's good.
Oh,
was that you, Paula?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I like that.
That's awesome.
That
it
is
awesome.
That really
is.
It is
awesome. I mean, this is black and white. This is so clear, right? It does make perfect sense. There is nothing we can do that would change reality in any way nor make us guilty. It says we cannot sin. It is impossible. For the wages of sin is death, and how can the immortal die? I love this paragraph. I also have noted in the margin something that I brought up last week that I'll just repeat again. And Corrine Walson is someone who I follow. I love her. She actually comes from a Christian Science background. And she, in her video, said something to the effect of, you know, we still think that we need to align ourselves with this loving energy, or we need to, you know, choose again or step into the miracle. And that is implying in itself that we believe in separation, that we believe that we're not perfect. And so she prompts in this video to just pause and to step back and remember that God is complete and perfect, and we are a part of that now in this very given moment. And everything that we need is right now. And so it's just like we just have to accept it.
That's
simple.
The good news.
Right? It's such good news. I said to a friend earlier today, I'm just so grateful for this pathway, because I really, I would just be a mess, an absolute mess without it. My goodness. Let's read the next paragraph. A major tenet in the ego's insane religion is that sin is not error, but truth, and it is innocence that would deceive. Purity is seen as arrogance, and the acceptance of the self as sinful is perceived as holiness. And it is this doctrine which replaces the reality of the Son of God as his Father created him and willed that he be forever. Is this humility, or is it rather an attempt to wrest creation away from truth and keep it separate? Ho, ho, ho. So here in this paragraph, it's so super clear that the idea of sin is the ego's insane religion. There's nothing humble about it. It is, the belief in sin is simply an attempt to keep our truth away from truth, to keep us, to keep what we are separate from truth, to tell us that we are something separate from it, something that isn't worthy of it, and therefore keep the separation going. No thanks, right? Not anymore. Should we keep going?
Yes.
Let's keep going. Any attempt to reinterpret sin as error is always indefensible to the ego. The idea of sin is wholly sacrosanct to its thought system and quite unapproachable except through reverence and awe. It is the most holy concept in the ego system, lovely and powerful, wholly true, and necessarily protected with every defense at its disposal. For here lies its best defense, which all the others serve. Here is its armor, its protection, and the fundamental purpose of the special relationship in its interpretation. So again here, this idea of sin being just absolutely critical to the thought system of the ego, that I don't know if anybody's experienced this, I know I have, but if there have been times when maybe I've talked about some of these ideas with somebody who's not a course student, and the idea of there not being sin was very threatening. It was very upsetting. And so that's an example of sort of what this is saying, that the ego, it's just not an acceptable idea to reinterpret sin as simply error.
Oh, it can really bring up a lot of anger in people when you do. I mean, oh, I've experienced that with certain friends where, you know, what are you, naive? What is, it can get really ugly. So it's like, oh, just don't go there with them. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Just let them, whatever they're doing.
Yeah. That's where, you know, when there have been times I'm thinking for myself of an example just like that, where I was with, this is a long time ago, and I was reading out of a book of quotes that had some course quotes in it, and it was something to the effect of, like, I think it was, nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so. And my one friend was like, what? Like, if my house burnt down, you know, that's something that's happening to me. And it really roused a lot of intense emotion. But we have to look in certain cases, if we're saying some of this, you know, to somebody else, where are we coming from? You know, in that case, I wanted to correct.
I have a good example. Thursday night I went out to dinner with some friends, and with the intention, because these are people who really are very politically involved with, you know, that whole thing. And I know when I'm with them, I don't want to lose them as friends, because when we're not talking that nonsense, they're wonderful people. But you know, it started to get that way, but before I went into this situation, I absolutely went to the Holy Spirit with, if something's going to come out of my mouth, it's going to be your words, not mine. And I tell you, it really worked out beautifully. And I actually said something at one point that surprised me, because I thought the reaction to it, when it came out of my mouth, I thought the reaction to it was going to be this very thing, you know, like they would get angry, and they didn't. And it was really quite, Maureen actually agreed with me, and I with that, it was like 8 o'clock, and I said, oh, you know, Jesus, past my bedtime, I have to go home. I better get out of here now. but this is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is, and it's just, you know, when you're going into these situations, and no matter what you're doing, really, it's the Holy Spirit is the answer. It's the Holy, bringing Holy Spirit into any situation, making that, you know, the intention for the day, from the minute you get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Serves you well.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does, because as the Course teaches, we need something, you know, the ego's thought system is a closed loop. It's not designed for awakening. It's designed
it
to keep
really
us asleep.
Isn't.
And so we need to turn, rather than staying fixed in the horizontal, we need to turn, you know, if you just want to conceptualize it as a vertical, we need to make that choice to say, hey, you know, I need something outside of my thought system. I need that miracle. Whether we call it Holy Spirit or something else, you know, again, it's the words don't matter. It's that meaning behind the words of turning to that higher part of our own mind to choose that miracle for us instead. So.
It is so powerful when we
Corinne,
do it.
And when
Corinne.
We have, oh, yeah.
I just wanted you to finish your thought because I know you were going to say something and I felt like it was speaking to me. So can you finish your thought about when you said that you were speaking to someone that was not a Course student and that they were saying, well, what are you talking about? What if my house burns down?
Yeah.
And then you said it's really important to look at where you're coming from. Can you finish that thought?
Yeah. My intention in bringing that up was that I wanted to be right. I wanted to correct my brother. I wanted them to see it my way. I was coming from ego. So it's always important with what Paula said in any situation, and we'll get better and better at this as we're ready, is to say, Holy Spirit, if I need to say something, tell me what to say, rather than deciding for ourselves what to say. So I've gotten better and better at distinguishing, you know, my urges to want to speak up because I want to be right. I want that other person to see it my way. They're wrong. Versus allowing ourselves to be that conduit, allowing ourselves to be that communication vessel to let Spirit speak through us. We might be guided to say something quite startling. You know, it might be that we're guided to say something that we wouldn't normally say, or it might be that, you know, words will come that are quite easy. So it's a matter of, you know, if we are going to say something, pausing, and for me, I quickly think, okay, where is this coming from? And if I feel that urge of wanting to be right, I know it's ego, but at the same time, as I always say, we have to be where we're at. So a happy learner does not feel guilty about learning. If I want to indulge myself and be right and throw it out there and correct the other person, I can do so and look at that with Holy Spirit. I can let it be used, you know, for my learning. This, again, the Course is not about us correcting our behavior. It's about turning to the Holy Spirit in everything and being guided from that. When we self-correct, when we decide like, oh, if I say this, it's loving, or if I say that, it's not loving, when we're self-correcting, we're now taking on the Holy Spirit's function, and we're going to fall flat on our face. The ego will get in there again without a doubt. So that's why whenever, I think I said this last week or recently, this is why I don't get tripped up anymore, even though I just said, like, is this coming from ego or is this coming from Corinne? I've gotten better and better at distinguishing that. But if we're not clear for ourselves, you know, what that answer is, am I coming from Spirit or am I coming from ego, we don't have to worry about it as long as we're willing to turn to the Holy Spirit, as long as we're willing to go through, you know, do what we feel we need to, but say, hey, Holy Spirit, I'm giving this whole thing to you. If we do that in the moment, after the moment, if we don't remember for a week, it doesn't matter. It's always about turning to, you know, that thought system outside of the closed loop of the ego thought system, our own right.
Oh my
mind.
God!
Can I interject something? This is Meg.
Meg, yes, one moment. Homira, I just want to make sure because I feel like I heard you speak.
No,
too. Let's just finish,
I just
Homira.
Said that was so,
Meg,
so helpful. Thank you so much. That was really helpful.
Good. Yeah. You're so welcome. Meg, you're up.
Yes, I wanted to interject one thing because this, something happened to me recently. And I also found that there is another solution too. And it had to do with politics also. And the other solution is silence. And in the silence, there is what I found there to be. Was I found there to be peace, and also the person that I was looking at and having the and getting ready to have the conversation with. I looked, which I didn't have. What I did was I looked at them, and all of a sudden there was just love. And there, and I know this is really just kind of hard to explain, but all of a sudden none of that even mattered.
That's awesome.
So sometimes silent, we don't have to say anything at all. We can be quiet in the spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. With whatever, you know, whatever it is we feel guided. And Meg, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that pause, the Course says that ego always speaks loudest and it always speaks first. So if we're going, you know, if there's that impulse that comes up and we just go with it, instead, what you're saying, if we can pause or just drop into that silence, we're sort of, for a moment, holding tight, you know, letting the ego part sort of blow by and waiting, you know, we're then waiting for Holy Spirit to guide us for an answer.
And I also felt a
connectedness.
And I also felt a connectedness with the person. And I also felt like, oh, that story's dead for a moment. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, the separation is what keeps the story going. Because I have my view and you have your view. And in the silence, there wasn't. And it was just like kind of intangible, but I just felt like a love and a peace and a quiet. And it was wonderful.
I love that. I love that story is dead for a moment. I love that you said that. That is perfect. That is perfect.
I kind of feel like
if you
set that intention with the Holy Spirit going in, you're more likely to be able to get into that silence in, you know, in a conscious awareness.
Yeah.
It's when we get into these situations where, you know, we're not connected, we're not in alignment, we're not connected to the Holy Spirit, that it would be very hard to just drop back into silence, or at least for me. I can only speak for myself. But I have to, for myself, I really have to set the intention first.
Yeah. I think that's an important point. In other words, in putting it into my own words, what you just said, Paula, we have to want it. We have to want
you a have
miracle.
To want
we have
it.
To want peace. We have to want happiness. We have to want to be happy instead of right. And so that's another way of saying setting the intention, because there is part of us, as we've been prompted to look at so many times as we've been through, you know, these pages, is that there's part of the mind that doesn't want it. You know, it's that ego part of the mind that's so happy being the ego, and that we believe in it, and that we pump our belief into it. It's you know, that part of the mind that wants conflict. So we do have to make that set that intention, or make that choice, or, you know, decide that we want peace. Awesome. This is such good stuff. Let's set the intention of finishing this section tonight. There's only three more paragraphs, so we'll definitely do it. It can indeed be said the ego made its world on sin. Only in such a world could everything be upside down. And my goodness, is that true? Only in such a world could everything be upside down. This is the strange illusion which makes the clouds of guilt seem heavy and impenetrable. The solidness this world's foundation seems to have is found in this. For sin has changed creation from an idea of God to an ideal the ego wants, a world it rules, made up of bodies, mindless and capable of complete corruption and decay. If this is a mistake, it can be undone easily by truth. Any mistake can be corrected if truth be left to judge it. But if the mistake is given the status of truth, to what can it be brought? The holiness of sin is kept in place by just this strange device. As truth, it is inviolate, and everything is brought to it for judgment. As a mistake, it must be brought to truth. It is impossible to have faith in sin, for sin is faithlessness. Yet it is possible to have faith that a mistake can be corrected. So, I have a few thoughts coming up immediately. Middle of this paragraph, the sentence, but if the mistake is given the status of truth, to what can it be brought? That's a definition of sin, right? It's a mistake that we've given the status of truth, that this is real. This has been done. This has occurred. This is it. So that just sort of hit me. That's talking about sin. Sin is a mistake that we have chosen to give the status of truth. Keeping that in mind next time I turn on the news. So just a couple of other points. We've read before about the fog, the clouds of guilt that seem, you know, this world seems so dense and so real and so rock solid, and yet it's clouds that the foundation of the world is built on. It's not there. And I love how it goes on to say, if this is a mistake, it can be undone easily by truth. Any mistake can be corrected if truth be left to judge it. That sentence I also wanted to highlight. Any mistake can be corrected if truth be left to judge it. This reminds me of the Course's teaching that we simply need to learn how to not interfere. We simply need to learn how to not interfere. That's not a direct quote, but we're constantly trying to distort truth, write our stories on top of it, play out these little, you know, body games. We're constantly doing that. If we can just pause and, like Meg said before, just drop into that silence, just allowing truth to be what it is, I feel like I'm letting myself more and more not resist that. Like, I'm willing to just let truth flow across my awareness and not block it out, because all the miracles that we've shared on these calls, all these examples, these beautiful examples that you all bring each week, it just again and again comes up for me, like, why would we defend against this? This is what makes us so happy and so peaceful. You know, why would we ever want to defend against this? So that's where I just have to express gratitude to you all for being here, because this, I feel like, strengthens our joint conviction that there is nothing to fear, that this works, that we are united in our choice to wake up. So for that, I'm grateful.
Corinne, this is Fran. I'd like to jump in.
Please.
Yes. Well, based on what you're saying about your being grateful about the stories, last week I was inspired by the call, and I think it's someone on this call talking about when she was a girl hearing that God wanted you to die. Is that person on the phone? Remember that story?
I'm trying to remember it. I'm fuzzy at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, someone was speaking about, as a girl, she realized she'd learned this terrible message, and it made me think, as a boy growing up in the Catholic faith, about some of my ideas.
Mm.
And after the call, I did a lot of writing, but it all centered around the idea of the cross and what did the cross mean and that kind of thing. I went off in a little bit of a tangent, but nonetheless, in the writing and some other reflections, I began to recognize that the phrase "bear the cross" came up, and I realized I've been taught that message over and over as a boy, that I'm supposed to bear my cross. And in fact, the heavier the cross or the suffering was, the better. So that I was to seek out suffering or not change it, because that was a good. And in fact, if I tried to have or go toward ease or anything that was less than suffering, that was a bad thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just throwing in my story that came from last week's call. It really provoked a lot of thought and revelation in my own mind.
Franny, I'm so grateful that you shared that, because that is although, you know, maybe there's a specific religion or religions that we could, you know, say teach that. That's also, I feel like, what the course is saying, the general message of the ego is that there's, you know, it's good to suffer, it's good to feel guilty, it's good to believe in sin. Do
agree,
not
yeah.
question that and try to be happy. Don't try to put down that cross. And the course is saying so clearly that that's an insane thought system, that that is only there to keep us from waking up. And so how beautiful that came up in your awareness, because then there it is. Once it's clear in our awareness, once we can see it, you know, it almost feels palpable sometimes. We can say, oh, I want the miracle instead. Here it is. It's coming up because it's coming up as an opportunity for healing, and Holy Spirit, I'm willing to experience that miracle instead.
Yeah, it was
so
like
that's
that
beautiful.
Current, yep.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, Franny. That was really helpful. And you know what? On that note, let's read the next paragraph, because this is just what you said. There is no stone in all the ego's embattled citadel more heavily defended than the idea that sin is real. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. The natural expression, because it's so funny, like this is ridiculous. The natural expression of what the Son of God has made himself to be and what he is. I need to start over again. My laughter made my head go away. There is no stone in all the ego's embattled citadel more heavily defended than the idea that sin is real, the natural expression of what the Son of God has made himself to be and what he is. To the ego, this is no mistake, for this is its reality. This is the truth from which escape will always be impossible. This is his past, his present, and his future. For he has somehow managed to corrupt his father and changed his mind completely. Mourn, then, the death of God, whom sin has killed. And this would be the ego's wish, which in its madness it thinks it has accomplished. So again, this is just the insane ego thought system. This is a description of that insane ego thought system. Let's read this final paragraph. Would you not rather that all this be nothing more than a mistake, entirely correctable, and so easily escaped from that its whole correction is like walking through a mist into the sun? For that is all it is. Perhaps you would be tempted to agree with the ego that it is far better to be sinful than mistaken. Yet think you carefully before you allow yourself to make this choice. Approach it not lightly, for it is the choice of hell or heaven. That paragraph, that last paragraph, gave me goosebumps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is saying, so again, next time you turn on the news, next time that you get hooked, come back to these lines. Would you not rather that all this be nothing more than a mistake, entirely correctable, and so easily escaped from that its whole correction is like walking through a mist into the sun? For that is all it is. You know, I've had thoughts before of just, and I mean, nobody would disagree that the world has an infinite number of problems. And if we tried to fix it outside, it would take eons. And yet this is saying that this is all undone in an instant. And it's not, this is where, in our development of trust, we can get really deep here, because number one, I want to say our awakening is gentle. So for those of us who feel that anything beyond this world seems kind of scary and, you know, we don't know it, not ready to kind of go there, that's okay. You know, as we awaken, we become ready then for the next step and for the next step in our expansion of awareness. So this course, as I've said before, is not about keeping the ego comfortable or making a happy dream for us to stay here forever and ever. It's about waking up from the dream. It's about waking up from it, and we see that happy dream in the process.
Hear,
so
hear.
It's a gentle, gentle process. Hear, hear.
Well said.
Gentle
for
process of awakening. Oh, thank you. So that's it. We're going to stop there for reading, and let's talk. Yes, who is that?
Hey, everyone. It's Alicia Va.
Hi, Alicia Va.
Hi. First of all, thank you all for your comments, for your questions. I'm over here doing my hair, and y'all are like, any question that I could have wanted to ask, it was asked. And I'm like, yes, I don't even have to talk. But something that has been coming up for me, and I'm just so glad for this call because it really hit home something, is like as it pertains to, you know, the ego. Forgive me, I'm trying to piece it together here. But like, so something that I've been realizing is the idea of self-love and know your worth, and there's so much I am discovering, and if I were to just go deep inside myself and be really, really honest, the idea of love yourself, you've got to like all the awful things about yourself. You've got to embrace wherever you was. And I'm starting to realize that that in and of itself is of the ego, because it's essentially telling you where you are right now is not enough. Mm-hmm. And you said something earlier, Corinne, about, you know, looking at it about not trying to make the correction and giving it to Holy Spirit, to let Holy Spirit do it. And it made me think about that as it pertains to certain little insecurities I have, whether it be physically or just little nuances I don't like about my body. I thought to myself when you said that, like, what would happen if even things like that I rather than try to make a judgment that, oh, I should like this and I should know my worth and suddenly all of my life should be in alignment with the highest, most magnificent part of what God, like, what if I would invite Holy Spirit into those moments? And what came to me is, you know, for instance, if I don't know, whatever insecurity I might have, rather than trying to make myself like it, but inviting Holy Spirit in and letting Holy Spirit do the correction. And, you know, when I do that, what I've been doing here recently is not suddenly liking my insecurities. Like, no, there's nothing nobody can tell me to make me like certain things. However, when I give it to Holy Spirit, I'm able to sit with that insecurity, that whatever flaw, and just have a level of compassion and not let it define me. But it doesn't go away, and it just made me think about how, you know, the Course, I think Gabrielle, I can't think of her last name, she has the book out, The Universe Has Got You Back.
Gabby Bernstein.
Bernstein. Hey, and I'm like thinking the Course has got our back, you know, because originally when I was, you know, I had not really thought of the Course in terms of applying it inwardly in terms of my own self-judgment. I was more so thinking of it outwardly, how I'm thinking about others, but really applying that. And so when there was a couple of things that came up throughout the call tonight that really brought that home for me, I'm so thankful, because there are some things that I want to be working on regarding putting information about self-help and loving yourself. And once you said that, I was like, I don't want to come from the tonality that how you feel about yourself right now is wrong and you need to hurry up and get out of that low vibration, you know? So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Alicia. But, you know, I just have to add something that you made me think of that's really important that my friend, I've said this to my friend many times. She reminded me of it today. And it's this idea of, again, self versus self, lowercase s self, which is the small ego self, versus the capital S self, which is the self that we all share, the self that we really are. And when you said before about, like, whatever the issue is, just, like, sitting with it and it doesn't have to define you, you mm-hmm. touched on something that, which is what I'm going to say now, is that Corinne was the one, you know, it, or is the one that has these problems or had anxiety or the whatever. Corinne doesn't need to be fixed. I'm learning that I'm not Corinne.
Yeah.
So it's a shift in identity. It's not about, you know, fixing the ego personality into a nice, happy, you know, ego personality. It's that literally we're shifting our identity from Corinne, from Elisheva, from Paula, from, you know, insert your name. It's learning that, you know, that stuff of Corinne is whatever, is there. I'm learning that that's not who
this
I
is
am.
Too weird.
And that's what...
Hmm.
Why is that?
Oh, my goodness. I sat my wife down in the living room this last week, and I put a baseball cap on. And we had a major blow-up on the telephone. Like, we were yelling, oh, yeah, well, F you and up yours and go on down the road. I don't need you. And when I came home, I went to a movie, and halfway through the movie, after the fight, I was kept saying through the whole movie, Holy Spirit, show me a different way to look at this. You're going to have to act quick here because I'm just freaking out. And I was just told, go home. Just go home. Just leave the movie, go home. And I went home and I put a baseball cap on. I literally told my wife, I said, I want you to meet two people. You can call a psychiatrist if you want in the morning, but this is as true gets. Is the guy with the hat on here, the guy with the hat on here, that's who was talking to you on the phone. And I took my hat mm-hmm. off, and I have a really crazy haircut for especially a 57-year-old. And I said, this guy here, if you would have asked him, can we work on things, he would always say yes.
Oh,
this guy here is full of, he's not just full of love, he is love.
Oh.
And I'll talk to you about a relationship all day long. That other guy, he's an idiot. I put the hat back on, and I go, he's talking about me. This is the guy that thinks everything that's going on is real. And I take the hat off, and I go,
mm-hmm.
this guy here, he's the one that you're freaking out on because he keeps talking about how everything's an illusion. But at least the thing mm-hmm. this guy's got going for him is he loves you because he sees himself in you and so much potential in you and everything. And it was just
mm-hmm.
like, I said to myself, she's going to call my family and a shrink tomorrow morning because I'm literally telling her I'm two different people. And here you're talking about this, and I'm like, this is too freaking weird because I just literally experienced
yep.
this.
Greg, this happens on this call all the time. So.
Well, and I'm listening to YouTube this afternoon, and the YouTube video was saying the miracles is doesn't come by words, it will come by proof. And that's all I'm hearing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Bingo. That was beautiful.
It's like
thank
you're
you.
On the
thank
right
you.
Track.
Yep.
You sure are.
You're not crazy.
I am learning.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, nope. We are all learning that we are not these personalities. Insert your name. Not Greg, not Corinne, not Franny, not any of that. We're learning
not from
who we
Denver.
Really are.
I'm telling you, we all have to memorize, Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using whatever insanity it is to attack myself and separate from your divine love. Have a great
yes.
week.
Amen, Paula. Thank you, everybody,
amen.
So much. We're
good
at
night.
The top of our time. See you all next good week.
Week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye,
thank
everybody.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.